sometimes I don't know where to start. I don't know if that makes sense. Thank you, Gordo, for the lesson. I think it's wonderful when we can share our inner struggles with one another and share thoughts from God's Word to encourage one another. That takes courage to do that, and we appreciate that. I appreciate it, and I can relate to many of the things that Gordo struggles with, and I think many of us can, and I appreciate it very much. I want to talk about something that came to me in an unusual way. I'm not going to say it was a mystical way, but it came to me in an unusual way. Recently, I had a dream, and I was hoping Tammany was here, because the dream involved her and Isaac a little bit. I had a dream that I was at a gathering where many friends were, and Isaac was there with Tammany. And there was a lake, a pretty lake, and it had a walkway along it. And Isaac must have been a little older, because I asked Tammany if I could take him for a walk. She said, yeah, you can take him for a walk. So I took him down by the lake, and I stuck my hand out, and he took my hand. And we walked along the lake. And then I had these powerful feelings just kind of come over me in my dream. How I went back to when Daniel was little, and how we would walk, and him being our first child and our only child at the time, how precious that was to be able to go for a walk with him and hold his hand. And I had that feeling holding Isaac's hand. I could relate to those times when Daniel was little and I could walk with him. And then I woke up out of the dream just kind of drenched in a cold sweat, being upset. Does that ever happen to you? Never happened to you? I have vivid dreams, so it happens to me probably more than normal. and I woke up, and I'm thinking, I'm never going to be able to walk with Daniel again like that, like I was walking with Isaac. I'm never going to be able to walk with my little boy. And then I started thinking, and now I'm awake, I'm starting thinking, you know what? That's stupid. That's a silly thought. Me and Daniel walk all the time. We walk and he still lets me lead, and sometimes we walk and he leads. He doesn't want to hold my hand anymore. But we do walk together. Now, I haven't lost that. But that thought of holding little Isaac's hand walking, it's a powerful thought when we think about how precious it is to be able to grasp someone's hand that we can trust with everything to take care of us. When we can hold someone's hand and know that we don't have to worry about anything, because the one we're holding the hand of is going to take care of us. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful thought. And it just overwhelmed me when I thought about the dream and all those things. And then I thought about Isaac and walking with him, thought about Daniel, thought about walking with Daniel now. And then I thought, a wonderful thought. You know, if Daniel and I are faithful, we can walk forever together. What a powerful thought that is. And that's where this sermon came from. After all those powerful, just emotional thoughts, I started thinking about our lives as Christian and we as children of God, how we need to hold God's hand and take his hand and embrace it, and we need him to lead us. And when we really embrace his hand, we know that he's going to take care of everything we need. It's a powerful, powerful thought that sometimes I think we forget. In Romans chapter 10, verse 21, in the teenage class, we've been studying the book of Romans, and verse 21 struck me about this thought. It says, but to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. All day long. That's how God felt about Israel in the days when they were rebellious. If we go back to the original quotation in Isaiah of this, it adds something else. Isaiah 65 in verse 2. The scripture says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. Now, when we think about God's end of things, he's stretching out his hand. He wants us to take his hand. He wants us to hold his hand. He wants us to trust him. And he wanted Israel to do that. But no one, what they did wasn't good. They wanted to walk their own way and lead themselves the way they wanted to go. And these verses show us, and I don't believe it's any different, God is still stretching out his hands for us. He wants us to hold them and let him lead us. It's our job to obey. It's our job to embrace his hand. It's our job to let him lead us. And what happens is sometimes Satan wants us to think that we can make it on our own. Let's look at some verses about that. Proverbs 16. In verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Satan wants us to think that we can direct our own steps. And that's when we start walking the wrong way. And we start drifting from him. And the fact of the matter is that we all need to hold God's hand. And we all need him to lead us. This lesson is a very simple lesson. And what I'd like to do is spend most of the rest of our time just simply reading some verses that relate this idea of holding God's hand and letting him lead us. Let's start in the book of Psalms, or Psalm. Psalm 18. In verse 35, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. What a beautiful thought. Psalm 23. Brother Drew read this last week, and I thought it was just a beautiful reading. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a comforting passage. What a comforting passage to know that the Lord wants to be our shepherd. And wants to lead us in the right places and in the right way. And he wants to take care of us. And even when things are looking bad, even when we're in the valley of the shadow of death, there's nothing to fear because we're holding his hand and he's going to lead us in the right way. What a beautiful passage. Psalm 139 in verse 10. Psalm 139, verse 10. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. David is relating to us a relationship that I believe that he had with God at this point in his life. And to be able to say, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. You see, we might say, well, how did David get to that position in his life? Well, there was times in his life when he wasn't there. He learned the value of holding God's hand. Trials helped with that. His realization of his own sin helped with that. And that's how he got there. Sometimes we need to think about, am I holding God's hand? Am I embracing it? Am I letting him lead me? Pretty simple thoughts, but very important thoughts. Proverbs chapter 3. I remember this. I think this may have been the first memory verse that Jesse Ann ever had. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In two little verses there, we see so many things that are linked around this idea of holding God's hand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Put your confidence in him to lead you in everything. Don't lean on yourself. Realize you are better off letting him lead you wherever he may take you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Every day, every moment of the day, we need to acknowledge that God is leading us. If we have a moment when he is not leading us, we need to change that. We need to not wait. We need to change that and let him lead us. And he shall direct your path. He shall direct your paths. Let's go to the New Testament now. In Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In verse 21. Then Jesus looking at him. This is talking about the rich young ruler that came to kneel at Jesus and ask him, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Then Jesus looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. See, part of this whole relationship with God is that we hold his hand, and he expects us to do some things. He expects us to do what he thinks is best. Sometimes he expects us to give up things that we love. Sometimes he expects us, as our brother Gordon so beautifully put, he expects us to control our thoughts for his glory. He expects that of us. And then he, in all those things that he expects of us, he wants us to follow him. This rich young ruler had a problem, and Jesus knew it. And I don't know what happened after this, but at this time, he was not embracing the hand of Jesus. That's unfortunate. Acts 11, verse 21. Acts 11, verse 21. Here, we're seeing a description of what's going on in Antioch. It's a beautiful, beautiful little verse. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. We as a congregation, we need to make sure that the hand of the Lord is with us as we walk. And good things will come to his glory. Romans chapter 6 in verse 4. A passage that maybe we don't think of this way, but it relates to what Garland said about walking with God. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We need to hold the Lord's hand, and then we need to walk with him. We need to walk with him. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Drop down to verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, part of our walk is to walk according to the Spirit, and then we'll be in harmony with God. Romans chapter 13, 11 through 13. I still remember a great lesson that Brian brought on this passage. Romans 13, starting in verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell within them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a beautiful relationship of what we Christians should have and should be enjoying with God. It's this close walking with Him on a daily basis. And when we do that, we know our life is going to be profitable and things will go according to His plan and to His glory. Galatians chapter 5, a couple of verses there, a familiar passage of again, showing the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. This reading's a little longer, but I think it all puts together a lot of things we've been talking about. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start with verse 1 and go through verse 16. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us. Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here we see this walk, the walking of circumspectly, carefully walking, walking, being careful to not be led away into the flesh, but walking in the Spirit, walking with God, walking with Christ, walking in light and not in darkness. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Here we see the beautiful walk that the Lord wants us to have. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him. That's what it's all about. When we walk in a way that's pleasing the Lord, we're walking properly. We're holding the hand of God. But when we drift from that, and this is what Paul is praying, that they would have a walk worthy of the Lord. When we drift from Him, then we're going to get into trouble. We're going to get off track. And we're not going to be able to take advantage of the Lord's loving care. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Here we see that walking in the Lord, it's more than just a one-time acknowledgement of following Him. It's giving ourselves. We're rooted and built up and established in Him. We're taught by Him. And then it doesn't stop there. Then we're abounding in Him. That's what walking with the Lord is. It's a constant process that Paul talks about. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 9. And this is a quotation that the Hebrew writer is using here. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. It's described, God is describing when He delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage as taking them by the hand. What a beautiful picture. And that's what He did. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Follow His steps. Chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 of Peter. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. There's a trust again that Peter's talking about. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. The beautiful blessings of walking with God, walking with Jesus, provide forgiveness of our sins, provide our salvation, and they guide us. The commandments are for our good, and to follow them is for our good. And we see that all connected by this reading. 2 John verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. A very simple passage to show that we need to follow the Lord and what he tells us to do. We may not understand it all the time. We may not even like it sometimes. But we need to learn to love it. And we need to learn to know that that is the way to walk in this life. For those of us who are parents, we need to remember to hold to God's hand. Parents are just as susceptible of drifting away as children. And our job is to not only hold the hand of the Lord, but then we need to teach our children to hold his hand. We need to teach our children to follow him. And I want to use an example of this that's way back in Genesis chapter 9. And it's a subtle thing. And I missed this for decades. I want to show you something. And maybe you've seen it already, or maybe I've already talked about it. Genesis 9 and verse 8. After the flood, after Noah had offered sacrifices on the altar, after all these things, God is going to bless the earth, bless the animals, make this promise that it would never be a worldwide flood again to destroy the world in this manner. And notice in verse 8, all through this time, up to this time, when God spoke, he spoke to Noah. He spoke to Noah. Verse 8, then God spoke to Noah and to his sons. If we are parents and we can encourage our children to have a personal relationship with God, to walk with him, to hold his hand, to embrace his hand, we'll have done our job. And that's what Noah did here. He brought his sons to a personal relationship with God. And that's a precious thing. And we need to realize when we hold God's hand and we embrace it, we have the best friend we could ever have. And our children will have that best friend too. We have many songs that convey this beautiful thought. Garland led a number of them, and they're beautiful songs. I want you to look at one. It's the one we just sang, 216. Just look at some of the beautiful words about this idea of walking with God, holding his hand, following him. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I go, be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid seams of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom. I looked at that line, I wonder, is that a reference to when Adam and Eve fell in the garden? By water still over troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. Beautiful thoughts. Why is it good to sing those songs? Because we need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded of the blessing. And we need to make sure that we hold the Lord's hand. Someday I may be able to take that walk with Isaac and with our other little ones. And those are special moments. Sometimes, once in a blue moon, my daughters hold my hand. They don't know how important that is to a daddy, to be able to hold your daughter's hand. That's a beautiful time. But think about the much greater thought, to be able to walk with each other for eternity. To get there, we need to hold the hand of Jesus. We need to hold the hand of the Father. We need to hold the hand of the Holy Spirit and let them lead us. How about you? Are you holding the hand of God this morning? Are you letting him lead you? His hand is outstretched, and his hope is that you're going to take his hand and you're going to hold on. And his hope isn't that you're just going to kind of hold on, kind of loosely, looking for the first moment you can let loose of it. He's looking for you to grasp his hand in such a way that you will never, ever let go. That's what God wants of us. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you've made the choice to not take his hand. Because you know what? God's hand is outstretched. As Brian says, the time you can obey the Lord is any time. His hand is outstretched at all times. And if you've chosen to not take it, we can use the scriptures that we started off with. Then he considers you a disobedient and contrary person to him. And that's not where you want to be. But you can change that. You can change it. You can change it by putting your faith in him and his word, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being immersed in the waters of baptism, to be baptized by Jesus and by the authority of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. The choice is all of ours. I cannot imagine walking in this life and through this life without holding the hand of God. I can't even imagine that. It's such a terrifying thought to think that any time I'm not holding the Lord. But that's what happens sometimes. When I think I can lead myself, we need to hold the hand of the Lord and trust him. If we can help you in any way. What we talked about has eternal consequences. This is not just a way of life. This is a way to life, eternal. If we can help you in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing.